Welcome once again to the South Harbor Church Podcast. South Harbor is a part of the Harbor Churches, which exist to help people find their way back to God. This week, we wrap up our series, Now What? Lessons from the Desert, with a message we're calling, Do Not Forget the Lord Your God. As always, for more information about how you can become a part of the South Harbor Church community, stick around after the message. And now, to get us started, here's our student's pastor, Chelsea.
Good morning, South Harbor. My name is Chelsea. I'm our student's pastor here, and I am so excited to spend a Sunday morning with you and your family in your home. If it's your first time or your 100th time, we just want to say welcome, and we're glad you're here. Before we get on with the rest of our service, we have a couple of different communities within our greater South Harbor community that we just want to point to and recognize and take a moment for. The first is on Monday, we celebrate Memorial Day, and it's gonna look a little different than it has in the past, but we still wanna take a moment to recognize those men and women who paid the ultimate sacrifice for us and our communities. And also, we wanna take a moment to talk about our graduates. Whether it's high school graduation, college graduation, trade school, or anything that you get to say, I did it, I'm done, we know that this doesn't look like the graduation you hoped for. You don't get to sit under that really hot and sweaty gown in the burning sun and get a sunburn. But we know that that's a moment that marks a lot of work and energy and just the machinery of being a student. And so we wanted to take a moment to honor you. We have some advice, some ideas, some quotations from a couple of our staff members just to say congratulations and you did it, class of 2020. Hi, class of 2020. My name is Chelsea. If we haven't met before, I am the student pastor here at South Harbor. And this year has been pretty wild. We know that you're hearing from everybody that this is a trying time and difficult, but we want you to know that we are celebrating you and your accomplishments. This year has been different. It's been wacky. It's been wild. And we just want to share some encouragement with you as you navigate this next new and exciting chapter in your lives.
Graduates of 2020, this is one of the most unique years I have ever experienced, and so you guys will have stories to tell people later. My advice to you is that, if you have always known what you're going to do and you got a plan and you're on track, congratulations, go for it. We wish you the best. But if you are like many people and you're not really sure what you're going to do yet, my advice would be to not sweat it. You will figure this out. Take your time. Talk to people that know you. Talk to people that love you. Be dreaming about the things that you love to do. Be praying about it. I went into college not knowing what I was going to do. I didn't really know what I was going to do until my senior year in college. And then God made it perfectly clear what I was supposed to do. So keep moving forward. Keep making progress. Take good advice. Ask people questions. And you will figure it out. Blessings to you all.
Hey guys, my name is Tiara. I'm one of the pastors here at South Harbor Church, if I have not yet met you. And my advice to you is to surround yourself with really amazing, really wise people who love you and who care about you. These are the folks who are going to walk alongside you in the critical moments of life, as well as celebrate with you in the most joyful moments of life. But they're also the people who are going to challenge you to be the best version of yourself through the decisions that you make and the courses of action that you take. Treasure these people, value these people, keep these people close, and congratulations again, guys.
Graduates, class of 2020, the weirdest year ever. By the way, this will be a great story someday. Just keep remembering that. I know it's miserable now, but this will be a great story someday. My name is Tim, Pastor Tim, and I just wanted to share a few, just one piece of advice as you step into this next season, whether that is more school or that is into the workforce or you're going into the military, whatever it is you're stepping into, here's some advice. I need you to remember, as you step into it, I need you to remember that the best things in life come with a bit of work. The best things in life, the things that really endure, the things that really matter, they require some effort. Yeah, the best things require some sweat. And the best things often have a bit of tears with them. And I need you to remember that, because it is really easy to coast through life. But I want you to give it everything you've got. Over the next few years, especially, give it everything you've got. Build a solid foundation. And here's why. I actually think that you can make a tremendous difference. You may be somebody who keeps our streets safe. You may be somebody who changes laws. You may be somebody that introduces, you may be somebody who cures a disease. Yeah. So I want you to do that. And at the same time, I need you to remember this, that when you achieve those things, like when you give it everything and you actually reach a level of success, which you will, when you do, I need you to remember that your worth and your identity are not tied to what you do. That even if nothing turns up right, your worth and your value, your worth and your value come from the simple fact that our God loves you and he loves you deeply. And so that should give you the permission to just go for it, because you can't lose his love. And so I'm proud of you. I'm with you in this season. And if you ever want to talk, please, let's talk. College can be the most fun season. The workforce can be the most fun season. But we're here. So congratulations. We'll talk soon. Signing off.
My advice for you is to keep your eyes open. There are so many opportunities and experiences and majors and jobs that are out there that you might have no idea even exist. The jobs I've done throughout my life have been ones that I never in a million years imagined I'd do. So keep your eyes open. The world is going to have a lot of really different and interesting opportunities out there for you.
Hello, friends, and welcome to South Harbor Church in your home. You are in my home, and if I haven't met you yet, my name is Tim, and I would love to get to know you after this. If we haven't met yet, let's make that happen. And by the way, a happy Memorial Day to everyone. Happy Memorial Day for those of you who have family members who have served, for those of you in the military, or for those of you who are veterans, or if somehow you're watching this and you are serving, thank you. We celebrate you. We appreciate you. And then also, graduates, happy graduation, class of 2020. I know this is a weird one, but congratulations, high school seniors, college seniors, grad school seniors, fifth grade class moving into middle school. Congratulations. We celebrate you. We cheer you on. And this is a weird season, but you will have a story to tell like no one else on the other end of this. And so, let's jump into a sermon. If you have a Bible, we're going to be in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter, we'll start with chapter 1. Deuteronomy is the fifth book of the Bible. Deuteronomy, as you're turning there. So I'm recording this on a Wednesday. I don't know. You're watching this maybe on a Sunday, maybe a little bit later, but it's supposed to be really nice this weekend. I know today it was gorgeous outside, and I actually took my kids running. I went for a run, and my wife works on Wednesday. She's in the medical field, and so I was home with the kids, and I had the two girls. We've got a Burley, and so I had the two girls in the Burley, and then Abram, my oldest, my boy, was scooting alongside of me, and we went for a run, and it was one of those days where it was like perfect. I was feeling it. If you run, you know what I'm talking about. Like there's some days where it's just like, oh my goodness. But there's other days where you're running and it's just like, I could keep going. I've got this great accountability system, by the way. Somebody started up, I believe it was Kyle Bull and a guy named Zach Sorensen. Zach, I'm not sure if we've met, but they started up a COVID-19 run challenge. You should look it up. This community is fantastic. Anyway, I'm out for a run, and I just have this like, I could keep going. And so I have a normal little route that's like 3.4 miles that I tend to do. But this time I decided to go a different direction, or to kind of veer off the normal path. Now in my head, here's what I was thinking. I know that if I keep going, there is this little ice cream store. Like if I have it in me, we can make it to this little ice cream store. I tuck a little bit of cash in my running belt, and I can surprise the kids with ice cream. So I know this, but my kids don't know this, right? That's like, that's the surprise. But as we turn, my oldest, he is six. He says to me, "Dad, where are you going? This isn't the right direction. Where are you going? This isn't right. We're going to get lost." And to which I say, "Oh, I know where we're going. We're fine. We're fine." My youngest daughter, who's just about like a week away from two, which is maybe the best age ever. But she'll turn two in just like a week or so. And she had fallen asleep, but she woke up. And when she wakes up, she wants to be held. And so she wakes up, I hear her hold. Actually, she says, hold you, because we say, "Do you want me to hold you?" So she doesn't understand hold me. So I'm just hearing, "Hold you, daddy, hold you, daddy." And my 4-year-old daughter, who's sharing the burly, like this push wagon thing, who's sharing it with her, she has run out of snacks. And she has decided that she doesn't want her younger sister in her burly with her anymore. She wants the whole thing, and she's hangry, and she is tired. She did not sleep. And so I have this great idea, like, I'm just going to keep going. And I'm about as far away as possible from home. And my oldest, who the whole time is saying, "Are we lost? Do you know where we're going? What's going on?" He decides he doesn't want to scoot anymore. He wants me to carry him. And my littlest is saying, "Daddy, hold you, hold you, hold you." And my middle is like, there is crying, and there is yelling, and there are tears. And the kids also, we're not having it. Okay. Now, I say that because this is essentially what we've been talking about for the last several weeks. We've been in the series that we're calling Now What? Lessons from the Desert, where we've been looking at this 3,500-year-old story that is more relevant than ever. The story is of God leading a man named Moses, who leads the Israelite people, from the land of Egypt to Israel. But in between is the desert. So there is Egypt where they're coming from, and there is Israel, the promised land, where they're heading to. But for 40 years, God has them wander the desert. And we have been talking about how it is in the desert where God teaches us some of the most foundational lessons. And just to recap some of the lessons we learned, we said the first week was, oh, by the way, I actually wrote this stuff up. It's not all sermon, don't worry. It's like a page of chicken scratch, but I'm like getting digital fatigue. So I actually sat down, it was a gorgeous day, and I wrote out my notes. Here's the recap. Week one, we said this is about formation. The desert is actually where God forms us. And then we said week two that one of the lessons we learn in the desert is we don't know best. And by the way, in week two, we had this sense looking at the story that was true. But can we all agree now, like where we are now as a country, as a world, with COVID-19, like there's so much we know now less than we knew before, it feels. And some of the early lessons that we discovered about ourselves, like those were true, but now we're realizing all these other things, at least I am. Like if you're doing the introspective work, like I'm discovering things about myself that some things are, I find really kind of great, and other things about myself I'm discovering I have some work to do. And yeah, in the desert, we are formed. In the desert, we learned we don't know best. And then week three, we said that God teaches us in the desert that God provides enough. And we looked at the story of manna. What is it? What is it? And then week four, that we should always, oh, I love this one, we should always choose honesty. We talked about lament. A lost art in humanity, but especially in the church, we can reclaim lament. And then last week, Pastor Tierra led us through this idea that it is a we thing, not a me thing. And we share the workload. One of the lessons we learned in the desert is it requires a team. Like it requires a team. There's Michael Jordan, but then there were the Chicago Bulls. And if you've watched The Last Dance, you know that Michael Jordan alone, he needed the Bulls. weird metaphor. But that brings us to Deuteronomy. Now, Deuteronomy is this incredible book. If you've never read it, it's this incredible book. Deuteronomy is made up, we believe, of three sermons by Moses after the 40 years. So Moses, 40 years in King Pharaoh's court, 40 years wandering the desert as a shepherd, God's preparing Moses. And then 40 years, he leads the Israelite people out of slavery and into the desert. That's the breakdown that a guy named Stephen gives us. Essentially, he divides his life into three chunks. Now, at the end of the last chunk, literally days before Moses is going to die, Moses is told by God that I am going to bring you to a space. You will see from a high known as Mount Nebo. You will see from Mount Nebo the promised land, but you will not enter it. You will die on the mountain. That's how Deuteronomy ends. Deuteronomy is Moses' last speech, his last sermon. There's actually three of them to the Israelite people who are about to step into the promised land. Now, if you have been walking with these people for 40 years and you know that you've got to pass on the torch, you've got one last thing you get to share with them, one last charge, what would you say? We've been talking about lessons from the desert. What would be the one lesson if you had to distill all of it down into one? What is the most important lesson? What is the thing that if you had one last piece of wisdom to write down or to tweet or to post on, like, what do you share? Moses gives three sermons, and the sermons are incredible. Now, the sermon could be summed up with the phrase, the key lesson of the desert is that God brings us to the desert to teach us who he is, that he can be trusted. Which brings me back to my kids. I'm off for a run. One of them's worried that we're lost, and the other wants me to hold her, and the other just wants to be comfortable. And I am with my kids, and I realize, like, I want to bring and get ice cream with them. But they have no idea. They have no idea. So what I have to do is I have to whisper to Abram, buddy, I got a secret for you. I'm about to bring you somewhere really good. I'm not lost. I know exactly where we're going. And I have to pull my little girl up and I hold and run with her. And I say to my middle child, Dad's bringing you somewhere great. Just be patient. One of the lessons we learn in the desert is that it's in the desert that God holds us. Look with me. These are some of the most powerful words in the entire Bible. Look with me at Deuteronomy chapter 1, let's start in verse 29. Moses is referring to a time in which God freed them from the hand of an enemy people. And he says, "Then I said to you, do not be terrified. Do not be afraid of them. The Lord your God, who is going before you, will fight for you, as he did for you in Egypt, before your very eyes and in the desert. There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place." Let me read that again. "There you saw how the Lord your God carried you, as a father carries his son, all the way you went until you reached this place." The message of the desert, the thing I believe that God wants us to know now and to catch and to not miss coming out of this season, is that we have a God who, when we are most anxious, when we are most scared, when we are most helpless, we have a God who carries us. We will get through this. We do get through this. Moses is about to send the people into the promised land, but he needs the people to remember, don't forget your God. He is good. He can be trusted. Do not forget your God. When you enter into the promised land and life is a bit easier, when we come on the other side of this and everyone's running their post-COVID sales and we have money to spend. And like when we're on the other side of this, and we're back at work and we're back at the speed of life that we had been, when we come through this, and I do believe we come through this, when we come through this, do not forget the lessons that you learned in the desert when you had to depend on a God who was far bigger than your understanding. Do not forget the Lord your God. This is the sermon. That's it. That's the message that Moses is going to give in each of his three final sermons. Now, what I want to do is I want to land that piece, and then we're going to sing some songs. We got some interactive kids teaching. And then for those of you, I know the weather's nice, and if you want to go do something outside, I totally bless that. But for those of you who want to come back, what I want to do is I want to take these three sermons, I want to pull them apart, and I want to give you my five favorite moments. My five favorite moments from the book of Deuteronomy, and I love this book. So we'll turn it over to, I believe, Jared, but before we do, would you join me in a word of prayer once again? Gracious Lord, would you remind us in this season that you are with us? Lord, when our hearts are breaking, would you remind us that you hold them? Lord, when we find ourselves lost, would you remind us that you are not lost? Lord, when it feels like we are wandering through a desert, would you remind us that we are not wandering, but we are being led? And Lord, when we get to the other end, would we turn back and would we say, we saw a God who is a father and he is so good. King Jesus, we pray all this in your name. And everybody said, amen. We'll see you in just a few.
Hey everyone, this week as we were getting ready for our song this weekend, thinking through how Tim was discussing remembering what God's done in the past. One of the things that David often did in the Psalms is he would begin a psalm in a state sort of lament, where he would describe the situation that was really bothering him. And then many times in Psalms, he makes a turn. So some psalms are pure lament, and others are often where literally he remembers the good things that God has done. In Psalm 77, we read, in Psalm 77, it begins, he says, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. And he describes this really stressful time. And then in the middle, he says, then I thought, to this I will appeal. The years of the right hand of the Most High, I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will meditate on all your works and consider all your mighty deeds. Your ways, O God, are holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeem your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. There seems to be a practical exercise that David is going through that I think is really important for all of us, is that when he was down, when he was really in the depths of his despair, very often he seems to intentionally remind himself of the blessings that God had poured out. And not just on him, but he sort of indicates that he's thinking of all the stories of how God has worked with his people over the generations, and reminded himself that that's the kind of God we serve. And so today our song is sort of built around this same idea, that when things get tough, one of the things that we should do is to remind ourselves of what we know is true, that the God we serve cares about his people, that he cares about the whole world, that he has never forsaken it. In fact, he's done what no other story of any God, right, includes, and that is he comes himself and becomes the sacrifice, and that because of the empty grave, we can be joyful. And so today, as we are reminded of that sort of movement from acknowledging the challenges in our life, and then intentionally reminding ourselves that Jesus is risen from the grave and that there is hope. And so we invite you to sing.
I'm the Harbor Kids Director at South Harbor Church, and today we're finishing up our sermon series on the lessons from the desert. At the end of 40 years of wandering, the Israelites reached the Promised Land, the land flowing with milk and honey. And we too will reach the end of our desert, of the time that we're stuck here at home that might feel like it will never end, but God is leading us too, just like He led the Israelites. But we can't forget the lessons that we've learned along the way. How can we remember? What are we going to remember? Are you going to remember the fun birthday parade you got to celebrate for your 9th birthday? Or the sweet treats of encouragement a family member dropped off? The extra time we got to spend with Dad? Or learning to bake with Grandma over Zoom calls? Are you going to remember building forts in your living room and Skyping with your teachers? What are we going to remember during this time? And how can we take the amazing experiences we've been able to have despite the unfortunate circumstances and the ways that God has worked through this into the next season with us? So before we get so busy with our work, our plans, our school, our daily lives, can we stop and think about how we're going to remember how we're going to remember what God taught us through this. For me, God taught me that my life doesn't need to be so busy to be filled with joy. God taught me that some of the best things in my life is the time that I get to spend with my loved ones, and I too often take that for granted. God taught me that I need to constantly be turned and looking at Him, because His plans for my life are so much better than the plans I make for myself. We have each learned so many things in this season that we need to take the time to think about how we can remember that. So in our Harbor Kids at Home for this week, we have two fun ways that your family can remember this time. One of those ways is a time capsule. So I would love for you guys to go to the Harbor Kids at Home and print out this time capsule. It's going to be a couple different pages of ways that your family can remember this time. On the first page, it's going to be a way that your kids can write down their age, their grade, their favorite things, things that they love right now, their favorite foods, so that they can remember who they were during this season. On the other pages, it's going to be ways that your family worshiped during this season. How did you do church while you were at home? What are some things that you celebrated? Did you celebrate a birthday or graduation? And how were you able to do that when you weren't able to have a party? What are some rituals and routines your family got in? What are some special experiences that you had? So it'll be a couple pages of things that you can fill out to truly remember this time. Afterwards, I encourage you to fold it up, keep it in a special place so that your children and your family in years to come can look at this and remember this time, remember this special time for them and for your family. The other idea of ways that your family can remember this time is you're going to need a special box. So it can be a cardboard box, a bin, any little box that you're not using for something else. And your family is going to make a promise box. So you're going to need a couple pieces of paper and some pencils. And I encourage you today or sometime this week to talk together as a family about what are some things that you're thankful for in this season. What are some verses that have been meaningful for you? What are some promises that God has made to you and your family? I encourage each person in your family to think of a few things, and you can write them down and put them in that box. Keep that box in a special place in your home so that throughout this week and weeks to come, you can continue to write down promises that God is making to you and your family. Maybe this is something that your family can continue to do and grow in years to come. So it can be a way that you can remember this season, but it also can be a way that you can remember the promises God makes to you every single day as we move into different seasons of life. What are the promises that God is making to you and your family? So if you're following along at home, there are a few other things in our Harbor Kids at Home as well. We have some worship songs that have motions that you can worship together as a family today. We have a scavenger hunt for your family to do and some other resources as well. So I encourage you to follow along in the Harbor Kids at Home and use those to worship together as a family today. So thanks so much for following along with me. I am going to send it back over to Tim for his sermon. Bye.
All right. Hello again, friends. If you have a Bible, turn with me back to the book of Deuteronomy, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy, fifth book of the Bible. The book of Deuteronomy is essentially three sermons. These are the last three sermons that this is like Moses' last shot at communicating to his friends, his people, his nation, the people, God's chosen people, before he's going to die, and they're going to take the promised land. This is the last thing he gets to share with them, and it's essentially three sermons. Now, there's some dispute about whether or not these were written by Moses. Most think they probably weren't written by Moses, but spoken by Moses and written down later. It doesn't really matter for what we're looking at today. However, someday we should do a real deep dive into the book of Deuteronomy. This book is fascinating. What I want to do is I want to give you my top five favorite things about the book of Deuteronomy. And by the way, just so you recognize how brilliant this book is and how unbelievably applicable this book is, the book of Deuteronomy includes the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments, as brilliant as they are, like our legal system is still built around the Ten Commandments, these laws given to a group of recently freed slaves 3,500 years ago still is like the rules our legal system is operating by at some level, which I find brilliant. But the Ten Commandments don't make my top five. These are, so each of the three sermons in the book of Deuteronomy has one major message. And the message is, when you enter the promised land, do not forget the Lord your God. But how they get at those messages is a bit nuanced and a bit different. Here's my top five. The first is in Deuteronomy chapter 6. This is a prayer known as, it comes to be known as the Shema. We've spent a lot of time as a church. Maybe you can say this in Hebrew now. Do you remember it? Shema Yisrael, Adonai Elchenu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta, Adonai Elohecha, V'chol Levavcha, U'v'chol Nefshecha, U'v'chol Mehodecha, Ve'ahavta Loriacha Chamoka. That's the part Jesus adds. Right. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength. And then Jesus adds, and love your neighbor as yourself. Now, this prayer becomes the central prayer to the Hebrew people, the prayer that every good Jewish person would say and still does to this day, twice a day. Jesus, as a Jewish man, would have said this prayer every single day, twice a day. Now, here's what's fascinating about, there's a lot that's fascinating, but this piece about the Shema I find really, really interesting. After the words that we've recited, you have this description. When the Lord brings you into the land he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you a land with large, flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves you did not plant, then when you eat and are satisfied, be careful that you do not forget the Lord who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You hear the message? Do not forget the Lord your God. When you enter the promised land and you have houses you did not build and wells you did not dig, do not forget the God who led you in the desert. Now, how do we do this? Well, the couple lines right before this. So, hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And then it's, do not forget the Lord your God. But sandwiched in the middle is some really basic, here's how you can make sure you don't forget God when you enter the promised land. Beginning at verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates. Here's what I love is the Shema is take these laws that God, these lessons that God has taught you in the desert and write them down. Put them in front of you. You've maybe seen what are known as phylacteries. If you see Jewish people, they have often will have like this little box of Torah like on their foreheads. Physically put it there, or they'll bind their hands, or the lessons you learn in the desert, keep them in front of you. So I don't know what lessons you've learned. Maybe it's one of our six. Maybe it's something else. But here's a question. How do you keep this in front of you? Maybe pause the video, talk about it as a family. What is one thing from the season that you have learned that you don't want to lose? Did you start a rhythm with your kids? Are you eating meals around tables? Are you sleeping a full 8 hours? what has happened in this that, we miss the old rhythms, but what has happened in this season that we don't want to just go back to life as usual? And in particular, where have you seen God that you need to remember that God has met you in a space you didn't see him before? Maybe you actually physically write it down. Maybe you draw it. Okay, that's number one. How am I doing in time? Oh, not good. Okay, number two. So first one is make it personal. That's the Shema. Number two is, okay, if you keep reading, I wrote keep the past personal. Here's the passage. Deuteronomy 6, verse 20. Okay, catch the nuance in this line. In the future, when your son asks you, and I would add daughter, when your son or daughter asks you, what is the meaning of the stipulations, decrees, and laws the Lord our God has commanded you? Tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. Do you catch the nuance? In the future, when your son asks you, what's the meaning of this? What's the meaning of it? You are to say to him, we were slaves of Pharaoh. Now you catch the nuance. If it's in the future, your son wasn't a slave. What you are doing is you are inviting your children into your story. You are inviting your children to take something that's been present and real to you, and you are inviting your children to not tell it as mom and dad or grandma and grandpa, but to tell that story as their story. We are to make this personal. This is not just stories of men and women who walked with God thousands of years ago. These are stories of men and women who have walked through deserts of life. We are part of their tribe. These are stories of our spiritual ancestors. Make it personal. If the Bible for you is just this old dusty book that is filled with all these weird practices and weird rules, the invitation in Deuteronomy, the invitation of Moses in one of his last sermons is make it personal. These people were real people. Their lives were not, honestly, not all that different than our life. Their fears were not all that different than our fears. They were afraid of being lost. They were afraid of going hungry. They were afraid of the economic realities. They were afraid of a sickness. The same things that we're afraid of. How did God meet them? Sometimes when we're struggling to see where is God meeting us, one of the places I turn is how did God meet them? Because their story is our story. Isn't that great? In the future, when your son asks you, what is the meaning of this, the stipulations, laws, and decrees, tell him, we were slaves of Pharaoh in Egypt. Keep it there. Number three. Okay, the way the first sermon ends, okay, I need to read you a chunk. The way the first sermon ends. So the first sermon is Deuteronomy 1 through chapter 30, and then there's a clear break, and then Moses comes back, and we'll look at that in a minute. But notice how he ends his first sermon. Tell me this is not the greatest way to land the plane ever. This is how he ends his first sermon. So you got a picture, old Moses. I imagine giant beard. I imagine Charlton Heston Moses. You know what I'm talking about? Moses. That Moses. And he's now giving a sermon to the nation who's about to enter into the promised land. And he says this, Deuteronomy 30, if you're following along, Deuteronomy 30, verse 11. Now, what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend to heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea, so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth and it is in your heart so that you may obey it. Let me pause there. See, up until now, the people saw Moses have interaction with God. Up until now, the people saw Moses ascend a mountain, talk with God, and come down and give the message. But what Moses needs them to see is that this is not beyond your ability. You don't have to climb a mountain. You don't have to ascend the heavens. You do not have to cross the seas. This is here. God's speaking here. Verse 15. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, that you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and to worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed, that you will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that's how he ends. What an ending. God has laid before us life and death, the blessings and curses. Moses pleads with the people, choose life. And then he says that the Lord is life. You will not find the life in the houses that you will inherit. They're great. Enjoy them. But you will not find life there. You will not find life in the wells you will drink out of. They're fantastic. But you will not find life there. You will find life in following the ways of our God, who carries us like a father carries a son. We come to the other side of this COVID-19 season, and if we come to the other side of this and we haven't learned that our God is worthy of our trust, then we've missed it. Number four. Okay, the next thing he does. That's how he ends his first sermon. His second sermon begins like this. Chapter 31. Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I am now 120 years old, and I am no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, you shall not cross the Jordan. So he's 120, and he says, I got to pass on the torch. So Moses passes on the torch, and he describes that. And then in chapter 32, it begins like this. And Moses recited the words of this song from beginning to end. I won't recite the whole thing, but he recites the song from beginning to end in the hearing of the whole assembly of Israel. And here's the song. So Moses, his second sermon, I've wrote a song and I'm going to recite it to you. I like that it says recite. He doesn't sing his own song, which I find amazing. He's probably as tune deaf as I am. Oh, but his song is incredible. This is chapter 32. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. O praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. What a way to kick off a song. He goes on with some warnings of if you do forget our God, read the warnings. But then he says this, verse 10, that, oh, why the desert? Why this season? If you find yourself asking why, notice what Moses says at the end of his life. And this is a man, by the way, if there's anyone who has the right to be bitter, Moses will not enter the promised land. He leads the people and he doesn't get to enter the promised land. And yet Moses ends with a song of praise. And he says, verse 10, in a desert land, God found him. He found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and he cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye, like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spread its wings to catch him and carries them on its pinions. The Lord alone led him. No foreign god was with him. He made him ride on the heights of the land and fed him with the fruit of the fields. He nourished him with honey from the rock and with oil from a flinty crag, with curds and milk from herd and flock, and with fattened lambs and goats, with choice rams of Bashan and the finest kernels of wheat. You drank the foaming blood of the grape. I love that line. You drank the foaming blood of the grape, wine. Jeshurun, which is another word for Israel, grew fat and kicked, filled with food. He became heavy and sleek. He abandoned the God who made him and rejected the rock, his savior. They made him jealous with their foreign gods and angered him with their detestable idols. They sacrificed to demons, which are not God, gods they had not known, gods that recently appeared, gods your fathers did not fear. You deserted the rock who fathered you. You forgot the God who gave you birth. And it goes on. Do you catch it, though? He was with you, and you saw him. And when you were scared and you cried out, he was with you. And he met you in the desert. And then Moses sings a song, or recites the song, and he says, but then you entered the promised land. He's like foreshadowing the future. He met you in the wilderness, in the desert. You fell in love in the desert. You learned to trust your dad in the desert, but then you entered into the promised land. And once you entered the promised land, it was too easy. And you found yourself bowing to idols, new idols, he says, that did not save you. They did not meet you in your weakness. You found yourself bowing down to new idols. In my journal, I've got these two parts, and then on the back, I've got podcast. I got a couple more podcasts that I've just been struggling to find time to record them, but I got another one on politics. But the gods of the economy, the gods of politics and being right, like, yeah, do not forget the Lord your God who carried you, who knit you together as a people. It's number four, number five. Okay. Moses' third. So Moses is three sermons. His third sermon is, again, it's just a couple chapters, but Moses is going to turn to the people. I won't read them all, but he turns to the people who are broken into 12 tribal families. And Moses says to the people, by family, may God bless you. These are his friends. These are the people that he, as Tiara read last week, they stood in line with their issues. He heard their issues in their marriages. He heard their issues with their children. He heard their issues with their faith and their fear. Moses was their pastor. And Moses comes to the end of his life and he begs them, do not forget God. Do not forget God. I am your pastor. I bless you. I hope you enter the promised land and you discover a God who is so amazing, because he is. But I beg you, when you enter the promised land, do not forget the Lord your God. I resonate. Those are my top five. I got a sixth that I don't have time for, but look up Deuteronomy chapter 8. That is a passage that came to me in a dark night of my soul. As your pastor, we got a new sermon series. I'm excited to start it next week. We keep moving as a people, but for these few weeks where we got to stop and we got to think about the desert together, for these few weeks where we were all in our own living rooms, sitting on our own computers or iPads, recording Zoom calls and FaceTime messages to our friends and family, when the whole universe was level, some of us learned to trust the voice of our God. And as your pastor, I want to enter into the new season, and I want to say to you, blessings over you as we step into the new season, whatever this new season will look like. Let's enter it different than we stepped into this season. Let's have a faith that's a bit deeper, a trust in a God who's a bit better. Yeah. I look forward to being in the same space with you and sharing the same oxygen, and then probably a little while later to actually be able to hug and shake hands and all of that. But as a church, this is a season where the heat is turned up, and this season will either bond us or it will break us. This season in the desert will either cause us to realize that there are things beyond our control and we have to learn to trust, or this season will be one of those seasons where, like a kid and a burly running down the street, we look to Dad and say, Dad can't be trusted. All right, friends, let me say one final prayer, and then we'll jump away, and then we'll come right back and have a few announcements and then a benediction. Would you say a prayer with me? Gracious Lord, I pray for my church. Lord, I pray that you would hold us each close in this season. Lord, I pray that you would carry each one of our fears in the palm of your hand. Lord, would you carry each one of our tears in the palm of your hand? And on the back end of this, Lord, I pray that we have a faith that is a bit more courageous. I pray that we have a faith that is a bit deeper. Lord, I pray that you are doing the hard work right now of pruning away all of the things, all of the noise and the nonsense and the things that don't matter, so that when we step into the new season, King Jesus, we discover discover a faith that is able to withstand even the most difficult of circumstances. Lord, we love you, and we pray this in your name. And everybody said, amen. We'll be right back.
Hello, friends at South Harbor Church. I hope you are all well and healthy. I want you to know that your pastors miss you, and we are really looking forward to the day that we can gather as a church again. My name is Rob, and I'm one of the pastors at South Harbor Church. And today I have a couple of quick announcements. First, if you want to connect with South Harbor Church or other people that go to South Harbor Church, the best way to do that is through our website at southharbor.org or our Facebook page, South Harbor Church Facebook. Look there for news about upcoming events and services online. And we also want you to know this year that we're changing the format of our VBS. We're hoping to do a backyard VBS hosted by volunteers that we will equip and prepare so that we can host VBS all over our neighborhoods in West Michigan. We're hoping to have 40 different host sites. So if you're interested in finding out more about backyard VBS, we would love for you to send an email to shkids@harborchurches.org, and we'll get back to you as soon as we can. Last week, we sent out an email with a link to our virtual town hall meeting. If you haven't seen that video yet, we encourage you to find it. We linked it in our weekly email this week as well, so you can find it there. And there's also a link in there for you to go and vote for our upcoming year's budget and our new campus care team members. So please do that if you haven't done it yet. Today will be the last day that the vote will be open, so we're going to want you to do that as soon as you can. And finally, we want to thank you for your generosity over the past couple months. We know that there's a lot of uncertainty in the world today, and we have seen you continue to be generous givers. There's more information about giving at Harbor Churches in the town hall meeting video, so you want to catch that. And if you're interested in giving to and through the church, you can go to the Harbor Churches website, harborchurches.org, and click on the giving link in the upper right. You can then select our campus and give a gift online, or you can find instructions on how to mail in a gift. Again, we miss you all so much, and we continue to pray for you all. May God bless you with his presence each and every day. Grace.
All right, welcome back. Let's wrap this thing up. There is only one way to wrap these things up. Am I right? With a benediction. So if you would you please stand? I know if you're in your living room or kitchen or house, it's weird, but would you please stand? I'm going to stand with you, and let's do a benediction. We've said this before, but the word benediction comes from two Greek words, the word bene and the word diktos. Bene means good, and the word diktos means words. And the ancients believed that the good words of a benediction would literally follow you until we meet again. So here's a benediction. My friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit, amen. enjoy this holiday Memorial Day weekend, and I look forward to talking to you again soon. Grace and peace.
Once again, we want to say thanks for listening. As Pastor Rob mentioned a few moments ago, you can find out more information about South Harbor Church and the communities we're connected to by visiting us on the web at www.southharbor.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at South Harbor Church. For those of you in the West Michigan area, we know that many of you are wondering what our plans are to restart gathering in our church building. We would ask that you please be patient as our senior leadership considers all of the conditions involved and tries to do their best as we seek the Holy Spirit's guidance in our plans moving forward. And so from all of us here at South Harbor Church, once again, we want to wish you a blessed week.